Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister will call for more effective European security and will back the energy union at the upcoming EU summit. The government has agreed to the relocation of Christian families from Iraq, and Prague will divide 125 million crowns among cultural institutions and venues. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka will appeal for more effective security on the EU's outer borders, for greater cooperation among European intelligence services, and will back the European Energy Union, this at the upcoming EU summit. The mandate was agreed at the cabinet meeting on Monday. At the summit, Mr. Sobotka will also reject calls by Great Britain for limits on EU free movement. British Prime Minister David Cameron announced in November that London was in favor of restrictions. Prior to the summit on Thursday and Friday, the Prime Minister is due to meet with counterparts from the Visegrad 4. The Czech government on Monday agreed to the relocation of 37 Christian families from Iraq to the Czech Republic. The Prime Minister confirmed, adding that a total of 153 refugees who have fled Islamic State will arrive from Kurdistan and Lebanon in three groups in the winter. The Generation 21 Foundation, which initiated the plan, will finance most of the relocation project that is to take place under the patronage of church institutions. The government agreed to the proposal on the grounds that the Interior Ministry would finance the relocation if the foundation were unable to fulfill its promise. The population of the Czech Republic grew by 7,800 in the first 9 months of this year to 10,546,000, according to figures issued by the Czech Statistics Office. The difference can be attributed to migrants, as more people died than were born on Czech territory in the first three quarters. The Czech Republic is ready to send police officers back to Hungary at any time on the request of local authorities, the Czech Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, said on a visit to Hungary. This according to a report by Czech TV. 50 Czech officers were sent to help guard the Hungarian-Serbian border, which is part of the outer border of the Schengen zone, in October. They are due to return home in the next few days. The city of Prague will divide funding worth 125 million crowns in the form of grants for cultural venues and institutions over the next several years. 96 million of the sum has been allotted for 2016 alone. The proposal was passed by the Committee for Culture at City Hall. Those to receive funding next year include Prague's Givadlo Semafor, Givadlo Napfidlovačce, and other theatre venues. More than 750 organizations applied for funding for 2016. 10 were excluded outright, while 496 will receive grant money. Two suspects found guilty of firebombing a boarding house in Ash, inhabited mostly by Romanis more than 3 years ago, have received sentences of almost 7 years in prison. 25-year-old Tomáš Kopecký and 35-year-old Michal Poláček were found guilty of attempted murder. The court ruled that the attack had been racially motivated. Each could have received 20 years behind bars. Mr. Kopecký's defense has already appealed. The state prosecutor, as well as the other defendant, may also follow suit. At the weekend, thousands of skiers took to the slopes for the first time this season in the Czech Republic as runs were opened at a number of ski hills in the Krkonoše Mountains and elsewhere. Ski hills which opened runs at the weekend included Černá Hora, Špindlerův Mlýn, and Malá Úpa. Lower-lying operators are still waiting for more suitable conditions to begin snowmaking. In sport, Sparta Prague, the lone Czech football club still in competition in the Europa League, has drawn Russian side Krasnodar in the round of 32. No Czech clubs are in the final 16 of the Champions League, meanwhile, but London club Arsenal with goalie Petr Čech did reach the final 16, and Arsenal drew FC Barcelona when the competition resumes. I'm Jan Vellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Jan Vellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Supreme Audit Office has criticized the way ministries manage the wide variety of state companies under their control. And radio announcer Vladimir Fischer, the voice of 1968, has died at the age of 81. Later on, the first of a series of reports from London, top heart surgeon Jan Marek compares healthcare in the UK and here in the Czech Republic. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The state spending watchdog, the Supreme Audit Office, has issued a report putting the spotlight on ongoing failures how ministries manage the wide variety of companies under their control. In spite of past government resolutions and instructions, clear guidelines and policies are often still lacking, with ministries appearing to take an ad hoc approach. Chris Johnston has the report.
The Supreme Audit Office examined how the state exercises its control over 31 companies, where it either has full control or a substantial shareholding. Altogether, the market value of the firms reviewed comes to 106 billion crowns. The companies range from the giant near 70% controlled power company CHESS to the company running Kalavivaara's thermal hotel, the setting for the annual film festival. Three ministries were put under the spotlight: the Ministry of Finance, Industry and Trade, and Agriculture. Olga Malkova is spokeswoman for the Audit Office, and she described one of the main conclusions.
The Supreme Audit Office found that a significant problem is that until now the state does not have any overall policy for evaluating which companies it counts on in the future as strategic and which it wants to get rid of. The overall policy should have been established by the relevant ministries already in 2012.
The task of coming up with that overall strategy has been postponed by government several times since then. The office's survey also found that there were clear-cut instructions at the government level who was to be responsible for pushing and protecting the state's interests in only two cases out of the 31 companies. The office's survey also found that there were clear instructions at the government level who was responsible for pushing and protecting the state's interest in only two cases out of the 31 companies, and these were not the most important state-controlled firms. In the remaining cases, it was left up to the ministers concerned how the state's interests were pursued. And what's more, clear markers for responsibility and decision-making were confused in cases where more than one ministry had a stake in state-controlled companies. And as far as guidelines about the payment of top state representatives on companies are concerned, in most cases ministries have failed to set out a framework for pay and bonuses, in spite of the government laying down instructions how this should be done in 2010. Ceilings for the maximum annual earnings of state-appointed managers and board members were also supposed to be set. In the case of the Ministry of Finance, it approved 14 out of 22 agreements, but in none of these cases was a maximum set for managers' rewards. And in 15 agreements, there was no linkage made between the overall management package and achieving the long-term or mid-term goals of the company. The latest survey is an example of the watchdog pushing the bounds of its powers to the limit. Currently, it can only look at how ministries manage the state-run companies. It cannot look at the company results, strategies, or how the managements are performing. That, though, could change under a proposal to widen the Audit Office's powers, which is currently being debated in Parliament. So far, there have been no fundamental amendments to the original proposal, but the process has still to be wrapped up.
Chris Johnston with that story. Now, Vladimir Fischer, the legendary radio announcer who in 1968 announced the news of the Russian-led invasion of Czechoslovakia, has died at the age of 81. A popular radio personality, Fischer excelled as a talk show host, a presenter of radio plays and dubber. But in the minds of the Czech people, he will always be remembered as the voice of 1968. Daniela Lasarova has the story.
Vážení posluchači, zůstaňte, setrvejte u svých přijímačů, za malý okamžik budeme vysílat mimořádně důležitou zprávu.
August 21st of 1968 was to have been a routine evening duty for radio announcer Vladimir Fischer. The only special thing about it was that he was aiming to celebrate his 34th birthday with colleagues on the night shift.
Tak když si připijeme, když si přiťukneme. A já jsem říkal, tak děvčata, klid, klid, klid.
The girl said, so when will we drink to your health, Vlad? And I answered, patience, patience, everyone. I will read the news at midnight, and after that the celebrations can begin. But then, about an hour before midnight, Mirek Zavorka from the newsroom rushed in and told me we'd been invaded.
Včera, dne 20. srpna 1968, kolem 23. hodiny, překročila vojska Sovětského svazu
Vladimir read the announcement of the invasion several more times, urging people to wake up friends and family and stay close to their transmitters before the broadcasts were interrupted and the radio building on Vinohradska filled up with Russian soldiers wielding Kalashnikovs. It was the darkest chapter of his life at Czechoslovak Radio, where he spent 40 years. He recalls that even as a child, he knew that he wanted to be a radio announcer one day.
Já jsem si hrál na ten rozhlas. Já jsem tam seděl a četl jsem si tam zprávy, nebo jsem tam říkal jakýkoliv text.
I would play at being a radio announcer. I would lock myself up in the toilet and I would repeat the news I heard on the radio, trying to ape the announcer as best I could. My mum and grandmother would listen behind the door and say, "What is the child up to there?" So that's how I started training for my future profession.
Moje průpravné cvičení pro vstup do rozhlasu.
Vladimir joined Czechoslovak Radio in 1953. He was handpicked together with two others out of 1,400 candidates. His first day at work was a dream come true. "This is your break, Vlad. No matter what, you mustn't spoil it. You must be good," he said to himself. He was. In the years to come, he was one of the most sought-after radio hosts, hosting evening and morning shows and appearing in numerous radio plays. Soon, he was also working as a dubber for Czechoslovak television and Czechoslovak short film. His contract with the radio ended in 1993, but he continued to freelance. Among the many roles he dubbed to perfection was the arrogant TV host Kent Brockman from The Simpsons.
My hovoříme vybraným způsobem. Oni používají přízemní výrazy jako jo, fakt, pojď sem na chvíli.
Jo, fakt, Barte, pojď sem na chvíli.
Ty pojď sem na chvíli.
Okay, in that exchange, the voice of the legendary radio announcer Vladimir Fischer, ending that report by Daniela Lazarova. Okay, but now it's time for sport, and for that I'm joined by Chris Johnston.
We begin with football and the rather mixed emotions of Czech manager Pavel Verba following the draw for the European Championships in France next year. Before the draw, Verba said that he wanted to avoid the same group as Germany. That wish was fulfilled, but instead the Czechs were drawn in the same group as Spain, Turkey and Croatia. This is what the Czech manager had to say after the draw.
Of course, there is one clear favorite, and that is Spain. Then there are three teams which must fight it out for the remaining qualification place from the group. We will have to see how we perform. Perhaps it is an advantage that we start off with Spain. It might be positive or negative, but I take it as a positive. I believe that we will get enough points to progress, though I repeat that we are facing a tough group.
Věřím, že uhráme tolik bodů, abychom postoupili dál, i když opakuji, čeká nás určitě těžká skupina.
Staying with football, Czech and Arsenal keeper Petr Cech notched up another milestone in his career in England's Premier League. Cech helped the Gunners to a 2-0 victory against Aston Villa, and in doing so recorded his 169th clean sheet. That total equals the Premier League's record held by David James. The away win puts Arsenal at the top of the league, but they could be knocked off that position by the surprise of the season, Leicester, who are playing on Monday night. In ice hockey, Liberec continued their amazing run so far in the Extraliga, albeit with a slender 1-0 win against bottom of the table Litvinov. They had to wait until the 37th minute for the sole goal by Michal Buller, with the assist from Branko Radivovic. He said the team is not celebrating the success so far.
The players are very modest. They know what it was like in past years and they really appreciate where we are now. If we started to be satisfied with ourselves, the coach or older players would soon crack down.
In snowboarding, Ester Ledecká won the World Cup Parallel Giant Slalom at Carezza, Italy, the opening event of the season. She had a 45-second lead over Swiss competitor Ladina Jenny. The Carezza success came in spite of the Czech arriving the day before the competition started and not having any practice on the slope. Czech biathlete Gabriela Sokolova remains at the top of the World Cup standings after five competitions. She was third in the 10-kilometre event at Hochfilzen, Austria on Saturday, trailing first-place German Laura Dahlmeier by just 18 seconds. Sokolova now has 222 points in the overall table. She increased her lead over second-positioned Franziska Hildebrand, who was fourth in the Austrian event.
Chris Johnson with the sport there. This is Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech radio, where it's now time for today's main feature. Last week, Ian Willoughby was in London conducting a series of interviews with Czechs living there. In the first of them, he meets leading heart surgeon Professor Jan Marek. That's in this week's One-on-One.
Professor Jan Marek is a lead consultant in paediatric and prenatal cardiology at London's famous Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital. One of the top specialists in his field in the world, Professor Marek worked for many years at Motol Hospital in Prague and retains close ties to the institution. I recently caught up with him at his office at Great Ormond Street, and before he was called away to conduct a heart operation, began by asking him how he'd ended up at such a prestigious institution.
Actually, I was appointed or approached by the colleagues. They knew me from the international conferences, and then I was approached back in 2001, but they failed to appoint me because the Czech Republic was outside the EU. So it took another 3-4 years to get the work permission for me for the lead consultant post, which is quite high. So it requires the expertise, and I probably just suited to working in the team. The team is very international, so I've been here since 2005, so it's more than 10 years now.
Were there other Czech doctors here before you?
Historically, there is the link of the Czech pediatric cardiologists and cardiac surgeons through the Mr. Stark. Mr. Stark was the very good surgeon originally from Prague, and he left the country after the Russian invasion back in 1968, and he actually contributed to establishment of the pediatric cardiac and cardiothoracic surgery at Great Ormond Street. So he also developed the program that, although under the communism, he managed to get the funding and invite the surgeons and cardiologists from Motol Hospital. And I think my recollection is that there are more than 15 people have been trained under his leadership.
You worked in the Czech Republic. You've been working here for 10 years. Could you possibly compare the facilities at Great Ormond Street with facilities at an equivalent hospital, if there is one, in the Czech Republic?
So with regards of if we are talking about the facility for the treating the patients, there is no difference. So there's the staff, it's the same, all equipments, everything, it's international, so there's no difference. The difference is that there's much more opportunity for research and for teaching and education. So that's what if I compare to Motol Hospital, so the treating the patients is the very similar or almost the same, I would say. The difference is mainly the research, and there are some programs which are very well developed in the United Kingdom, such as the transplantation of children born with congenital heart disease or cardiomyopathies. This program is well established here, and of course it depends also on the size of the area. So the Czech Republic is a rather small country, so having the big transplant program, it's in fact unrealistic and there's no need for it.
Is there a great opportunity for research here because there's more funding?
Yes, absolutely. So and particularly here at Great Ormond Street Hospital, all the resources are partly the government, partly the private. There's a lot of donations, so a lot of research is being funded privately from the multiple resources from United Kingdom or from overseas.
And could you compare the treatments of patients here in Great Ormond Street within the Czech Republic. Often in the Czech Republic, I personally have found that the standard of healthcare is good, but doctors and nurses can often be kind of brusque, not so patient with their patients.
Yes, I think that's partly because the doctors are very busy with the unnecessary work. So I think that the doctors here in England, they have the more time to spend with the families because they don't have to do the other work. Just for comparison, I think there's more than one third of the employees at GOS are administrators. In contrast, if I remember well, the administrative staff in Motol Hospital, I think they just turn around the 5% of the all employees. So that's one of the reasons. The another reason is that the doctors in Prague, they need to fill a lot of gaps, so then they need to move from one side to another side, while here we have the allocated time. And if I have the allocated time for research, so then nobody can actually approach me unless I'm really needed in theatre or there's some urgency.
So it's really a question of workload, not of attitude to the patient.
Well, I think there was probably a difference related to the previous regime. So under communism, so the people were also shy to speak and they kept quite secret. They didn't want to talk too much. And talking to patients was the privilege of the heads and bosses rather than the ordinary doctors. I think that's the situation. So I'm sure it's gradually changing.
Is there a different attitude to doctors among the public in the Czech Republic and in the UK?
Maybe I'm not going to answer your question directly. There is the significant difference, and I tell you what I think. The primary care in Czech Republic is probably better than in England. I think that the system of the GP, I understand that historically it's very important, but I think that nowadays there is more need for the specialized doctors. And the system in the Czech Republic, it's brilliant. I think the primary pediatric care is brilliant in Czech Republic. I don't think that all GPs can manage to be well up to date with all issues related to obstetrics and the pediatrics and the internal medicine. So I think the primary care actually in Czech Republic, it's easier to access. The system is the same, so it's the free of charge, more or less. And that's the advantage of the Czech system, and they should not destroy the system. Now, answering your question, I think that the Czech patients are still used to see the doctors as, I wouldn't say gods, but they have the big authority. They have the big respect. I think the patients here in England are considering the doctors as partly the partners, but partly they are quite sometimes demanding. So they come and they want to be provided by the best possible service. I think what I quite like that we very often name by names rather than the titles, and that makes, if I have the chronic patients, I used to see them very often. We have the quite good relationship, and the treating the child with congenital heart disease, it's more on the friendly basis. That's something what we probably don't see very often in the Czech Republic.
So somebody calls you pan doctor,
yes,
or equivalent.
Well, if I translate to English, Mr. Doctor, that sounds funny a bit, is it?
I was surprised to read that here at Great Ormond Street, there are facilities for families to receive counselling from or help from psychologists. Does that also exist in the Czech Republic?
Psychology is a well-recognized specialty, so I'm sure that there are many psychologists who help the families. I think it's probably the system, it's better developed here, and it's not only the support from psychologists, it's the support from the advanced nursing staff, and they are, because I'm dealing with the disease, which sometimes we just can't cure, and unfortunately some children may die. So then we have the very good supporting system which can actually stay with the family and help with the family until the end of the life of their child. So I think these supporting services are in general better developed in the United Kingdom rather than Czech Republic.
Do you ever get Czech patients here?
Yes, we've got few patients. The Czech patients' residents in the United Kingdom. Then we have the very good collaboration with the Motol Hospital. So sometimes I'm helping with the second opinions, but routinely all patients are treated in the same way in Prague.
London is, of course, an extremely multicultural city. Was that something that you had to get used to, interacting with patients from all kinds of cultures and from different countries?
Well, I very much like it. So I get used to it very quickly. And I've been always kind of keen to meet the other people and learn from the other cultures. I was partly trained in Texas in the United States and Canada. And I actually appreciate very much living in this culturally rich city. It's amazing. It's really good. I like it.
There's something of a Czech community here in London. Is there also a Czech medical community?
Not I am aware of. I know the few colleagues who are working in London, but in fact we don't really communicate very often. So I think in contrast perhaps to Polish population, I think the Czech population is quite small and we don't routinely communicate.
I was reading a statement from you in which you said you like to pass on knowledge to the next generation of doctors. Have you had much opportunity to encourage young Czech doctors?
Yes, actually, we have the very good program with Pediatric Heart Center in Motol. And we started this, I think, 5 years ago with Professor Janušek, who is the currently the head of the Prague Center. And I have trained already here the more than 10 young doctors and students, and also I'm inviting the senior colleagues to give talks and the presentations. So we have the very good collaboration, and we are also establishing some research programs. So since I left, we have the quite active collaboration, and I don't want to disconnect from the Prague unit because I feel partly obliged to pay back, you know, what I receive from my mentors. This is, I think, very important.
Can you foresee in the future returning to Prague permanently and sharing your know-how in that way?
Well, I'm used to come back and present. I'm the professor of Charles University, so I have also the link to the first medical school in Prague, and I used to give talks 3-4 times a year. I'm not at the moment planning to return, but, you know, I'm not young anymore, so there may be when I retire in a few years' time, I will consider to return back, yes.
You spend some of your time in Prague, but you live here. Are there things you miss about the Czech Republic?
I miss countryside, really. I'm quite keen cyclist, and instead of trying to go somewhere outside the city here, I actually, because also I'm traveling a lot, I take all my annual leaves going back to Czech Republic, but not necessarily to Prague. We have the beautiful place in the South Bohemia, and we used to meet the 12 families from Motol Hospital and from other places. And we've been having these reunions for last 15 years. So if you ask me where I am used to go for holidays, it's always the Southern Bohemia.
And the UK-based heart surgeon Jan Marek was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One, part of a special series reporting on Czechs in London. This is Radio Prague, where we're just about out of time, I'm afraid, but a quick reminder, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's show, please write to english@radio.cz. Also, you'll find many more stories at our website, radio.cz is the address to visit. I'm Jan Wellinger, for myself and all of us here at the station. Thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.